Padre Pio and the Devil, an unending struggle. That's the title of today's talk. Please do continue watching. Hello friends of Follow and Padre Pio. On this channel, we present a series of short stories on the amazing life of Padre Pio, the Capuchin monk, mystic and miracle worker. So please do stay tuned to this channel, and we hope that you will be amazed to find out how Padre Pio's intercession can help you personally or also a loved one. And we would also like to take this opportunity to thank our patrons, a number of people that have subscribed to our Protected Child of Padre Pio program. And through this, you're helping us to spread the Padre Pio apostolate. Thank you for joining us. The story of Padre Pio against the devil is an epic saga of hand-to-hand combat sometimes between a monk and his adversary. So says the veteran Vaticanista Marco Tosati, who is the author of the book Padre Pio Against the Devil, The Final Battle. The main sources that the journalist made use of were the personal letters of the saint of Petrosina, which the father wrote himself, which Padre Pio wrote himself. So that was the one source, as well as the texts, the deposit texts used in the process of Padre Pio's canonization. Now, on the occasion of the launching of the Spanish version of the book on the website Religion and Libertad, they were able to interview Tosati to get his perspectives on Padre Pio's exceptional and unique struggle with evil. And from this interview, this is what we're quoting below. And it's a series of questions and answers. So we start with our first question. Why is the person of Padre Pio so beloved and important? And Tosati answers, in Italy, he is without a doubt one of the most popular saints of the people. One can hardly enter a shop, a restaurant, or a public square without finding a picture of Padre Pio there. And he says, I believe it is because Padre Pio is one of the saints historically whose intercessions and pleas have been heard and answered exceptionally frequently. Tosati continues, I have read the 8 volumes of the Posito, that is the collection of documents about him that were used in the canonization process. And in those documents, it gives hundreds of witness accounts of people from not only in Italy, but other places around the world who had received extraordinary graces through Padre Pio's intercession. He was the worker of astonishing phenomena. Bilocations, healings, reading of souls through with just a glance at a person, he would be able to see exactly, tell them about their soul. It makes him exceptional, different from other saints, and so loved too. All over the world, there are also prayer groups today which have been inspired by Padre Pio. The next question. So what is so exceptional about Padre Pio's relationship with the devil? After all, the devil tempts all Christians, correct? The case of Padre Pio is special because the struggle was not just spiritual, but also there were extreme physical moments too. So much so that his confreres, the other brothers in the monastery, would hear noises at night of a fight coming out of Padre Pio's room. And the next morning they would even find astonishing things like the iron frame bed had been bent as if by some unnatural force. They would see Padre Pio the next day with bruises, with gashes, with grazes, as if he had been badly beaten. The superior even at times asked him, they asked Padre Pio when he was a young monk, before he had been sent to San Giovanni Rotondo, if he would not pray to the Lord and ask him not to allow the devil to make so much noise, because it frightens the other brothers very much. So this was something very visible. These physical battles were visible. And in particular, this would happen when he fought to take souls out of the hands of the devil. So perhaps someone was completely on the wrong track, on the devil's path, and now Padre Pio wanted to rescue them, bring them to God. There where a fight would ensue. In fact, there have been many saints who have fought with the devil, but Padre Pio is somewhat exceptional because it was continuous physical and obvious, to the point that people would see these things. Tosini adds, furthermore, as a journalist and a writer, I saw the struggle between Padre Pio and the devil as an epic of literary value, even if it is not from the perspective of faith. And there was already, from the time of Padre Pio's childhood, a vision of a giant man, a bad man, the devil, whom he had to fight. So right from the early on, Padre Pio knew what his calling was. Our next question. What does this experience of Padre Pio mean for us, for our times? From Tassisi, I'm not a millennial, but probably we are in very special times, because Our Lady of Fatima said that we are in a decisive battle between the powers of good and the powers of evil. Forces that attack the family, for instance, and even attack basic natural values. And it seems that God, through Padre Pio, gave the signal that the struggle had already begun, and also that it was a supernatural struggle. The next question. But sexual sin, bad family life, bad parents, adultery, all of this has always existed. What is new? And the answer from Tassisi. Yes, sexual sins and sins against the family have always existed. But if, for example, there had been a bad pope, for example, Alexander Borgia, he says, he did these things, but he did not change the beliefs or the doctrine. And he did not say these sins are normal. Oh, he lived a bad life, but he didn't try to justify it. The novelty, he adds, of the past century, and it is direct from unbridled individualism, not only casts doubt on the faith itself, but seeks to convince man that he is, in fact, his own legislator. He makes up his own laws. He is his own God. That he does not need to discover the good or fulfill it, because he simply creates his own law. He bypasses it. Our next question. Your book contains a second section with examples of other saints who also had close experiences and direct struggles with the devil. For instance, there's Eustachia of Padua, Sistina von Stormlin, and Mariam Buardi. Why do you include them? And he answers, I have chosen these saints because I believe they illustrate that the devil, though he has a free hand or may appear to have a free hand, however, he is limited by God. What we know about Mariam Buardi is recorded in scientific documents of her day. This also applies to what we know about Padre Pio. It is as if the world wants to close its eyes to the supernatural, but the supernatural cannot be hidden. And here he's quoting a Jesuit superior. We see that God secretly uses the devil as an instrument. An unusual instrument, yes, but one that serves for the sanctification of man. We see people of great personal holiness who for a long time suffer under the power of the devil. Sometimes even obsessed. Though, of course, their souls and their wills remain free. But the devil appears to have power over them, even if they're good people. I have always been amazed by the familiarity, Tosisi continues, with which the devil approached the throne of God in the book of Job. He greets him calmly and they talk. So the devil is just another instrument of God. That's his conclusion. So the interviewer, so God brings forth good even from evil. Is that the secret? Yes, it is the mystery. It is as if one is looking at a work of embroidery from the back, from the reverse side, and one just sees a mess and a tangle of threads and colors. But the embroiderer, that is God, sees from above and he knows exactly what he's doing. And the next observation of the interviewer, in the last decades, the number of exorcists in the Catholic Church has multiplied. They are now training courses and they stay in touch with each other on the internet. So this whole network has sprung up of exorcists. And Tosisi answers, yes, because people have been asking for the exorcists. I wrote a book of an interview with Father Amorth called The Memoirs of an Exorcist. And in it, he explained to me that 30 years ago, there was not, can you believe, a single exorcist in France, in Belgium, in Austria, or in Germany. Not even one exorcist, because the bishops simply did not believe in the devil any longer. But they have been seeing so many cases, so many requests, that they are now in the city of Turin alone, the Shroud of Turin, that city, four exorcists. There are several in Paris, not to mention courses for hundreds of priests who come to the United States. And here's another question from the interviewer. Is there anything we can learn from this? Something new about the devil in the 21st century? And the journalist to CC answers, the devil is always on the lookout for souls. Of course, scripture tells us that. But Father Amorth told me, it is his big struggle to try and take souls away from God. But he does most of his work without attracting attention. He prefers to be anonymous, acting quietly, usually. The devil does not want to manifest himself. Even for exorcists, it can be difficult to distinguish the cases because the devil tries to hide, which is interesting. And then he quotes Baudet, says, the devil's best strategy is to make us believe that he does not exist. And the interviewer adds, but of course it is not healthy to see the devil everywhere. It is necessary to keep a balance, of course. Father Amorth said, of all those who come to see him with problems, only about 1% really need an exorcist. And I think this is the measure of things. The devil normally works in ordinary, yet effective ways without extraordinary phenomena. He works through wars or through hatred or through destruction of family, through abortion, and even there we have to be present. Please do continue watching our most popular videos, and in particular the one on how to become a protected child of Padre Pio. Please do watch that video.